everybody in church today. I'll tell you that you have a lot of different options of where you could spend Easter, but it's really an honor to see you all spending Easter with us this morning. Whether you've been here a million times or this is the first time you're coming, we're so glad to be able to have you. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but just like that song we sang, We Believe, I believe in God the Father, amen?
Amen.
I believe in Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I believe that He's given us new life. I believe in the crucifixion. I believe that He conquered death. I believe in His resurrection. And you know what? I believe that one day He's coming back again. Praise Jesus for what He's done. Praise the Lord. So our sermon today is going to be in Luke chapter 24. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, that's Luke chapter 24.
Which chapter is it?
Luke chapter 24. The title of today's sermon is An Easter Journey of Three Ladies. An Easter Journey of Three Ladies. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Listen to what God's Word says here. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered His words. Then they returned to the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had just happened. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You, God, to be able to come before You this Easter Sunday, God, to be able to worship You, Lord. God, we thank You for Your death. We thank You for Your crucifixion. We thank You for Your resurrection, God. We thank You for Your paying the price for all of our sins by dying on the cross, Lord. God, You've done so many great things for us, Lord. And Jesus, You're not even through yet, Lord. You're still calling on people. You're still helping people, Lord. I pray, God, that today if anybody has burdens on their heart, things they're troubled with, God, I pray that they just be able to set those aside this Easter service, to be able to hear Your word, God. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day they make that decision to accept You as their Lord and Savior. Amen. And have an eternal place in heaven with You up above, Jesus. Lord, thank You again for all that You do for us. Thank You for us being able to celebrate this day of Easter. It's in Your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So how many people in the congregation today are excited about Easter? If you're excited about Easter, let me hear you say, praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah, Easter is a great time, isn't it? I know I'm looking forward to the egg hunt. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to family pictures. That's always a good time. But what I'm most looking forward to is being able to share the Word of God with you. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
So I want to ask you a couple questions this morning just to get you going. And I'll tell you, if you know the answer to these questions, feel free to shout it out loud as you feel like shouting it out. Who has the power to answer prayer?
Jesus.
Who has the power to forgive sin?
Jesus.
Who has the power to restore relationships?
Jesus.
Who has the power to heal the sick and make the blind see and the lame to walk again?
Jesus.
That's right. Who has the power to grant eternal life?
Jesus.
Who has the power to even raise people from the dead?
Jesus.
That's right. He sure does. And that's the Lord and Savior that we're serving today. And now I realize, well, a lot of us understand who Jesus is. There may be a couple here that don't really know about this Jesus character. They don't know what Jesus had done for us. And so I want to share a little summary of Jesus' life with you just to kind of set the foundation for today. Over 2,000 years ago, an angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was highly favored among men, and that she would have the child, the son of the everlasting God. Well, Mary graciously accepted, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and lived on earth for a little over 30 years. Jesus was fully man and fully God. Jesus got hungry. He got tired. He ate. He had feelings. Now, we don't know much about his childhood, but what we do know is by the time he reached the age of 12, he was preaching in the temple and teaching with people. We know that Jesus healed, and he gave the disciples the power to heal people too. We know that he made the lame walk. We know that he healed the sick. We know that he even raised people from the dead. We know that Jesus did this because he loved people. Not just some of the people, but all the people. During his life, Jesus witnessed to people and told people about the kingdom of heaven from prostitutes. A prostitute, if you remember, a woman who was about to be stoned to death. Jesus came, and as these men were getting ready to stone her, Jesus said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." Jesus loved everybody. He loved the prostitutes. He loved the kings and everybody in between. He came because he loved us. The Bible says that Jesus' whole reason to come to earth was to seek and to save those that are lost. So then came the time where Jesus had to pay the ultimate price. The price for your sins and the price for my sins. And that's when he went to the cross and he had to die on the cross. So many people wonder, how can Good Friday, how can we call a day where Jesus died on the cross a good day? How can we call that a Good Friday? Well, the reasons it's good is because that was the day that Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. Praise God. That's why it's called Good Friday. But even as Jesus was up on that cross, he was still ministering to people. As he was hanging up there, and the people were doing all these terrible things to him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the Lord and Savior that I'm going to tell you about today. That brings us to the third day. The exciting day. The day where he rose from the dead and he conquered death. So the way I want to share this with you today is I want to take you on a little journey with three women. These three ladies, they're going to uncover three wonderful promises of Easter that you'll be able to remember for all your life. So I'm going to need a little of your imagination so that you can enjoy this journey with me, okay? So let's go back to the first Easter morning. So the first Easter morning, it's early in the morning, it's dawn. The sun hasn't risen yet. And a couple of Jesus' followers, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, they were on their way to this tomb. So in this tomb, this is the tomb where Jesus was buried. So they've been walking for about a half an hour now. The conversation, it's subdued a little bit. The task before them was a sad one. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. And so as they were going to go anoint this body, they're walking, and they come up to the top of this hill. All of a sudden, they become quiet. And as they're on top of this hill, here's what they see. If you look at the screens, they see three crosses. They look over at that, silhouetted by the glow of the pink sky. On the top of the hill, the locals called Golgotha, or the skull. Yesterday was the Sabbath, so nobody had time to remove these crosses yet. So there they stand as an empty reminder of the horror that took place on Friday. The one in the middle, that's the one I want you to pay particular attention to today. Let's zoom in on that one in the middle. Can you see that cross? That's the one that Jesus hung on. Take a close look at it. Look at the top. Those bloodstains are from the crown of thorns that was crushed into Jesus' skull. The stains on the end of the crossbar, do you see them? They came from the nails that were driven into Jesus' hands. That main beam, you see how it's soaked in blood? That's blood from his back. Blood that was bled when the Roman soldiers beat him with the cat of nine tails. And if you've seen the movie Passion for Christ, you know what I'm talking about here. It also has stains from blood that poured from his side when the Roman soldier speared him to see if in fact he was dead. And he was. There's no doubt about it. The soldiers knew Jesus was dead. The Romans knew Jesus was dead. And so did the Jews. You see, the Bible talks about this in John 10:11. Says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And in John 15:13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You see, Jesus really did die. That's why I wanted you to see that middle cross this morning. But here's the promise. Jesus is no longer on that cross. Oh no, the cross is empty. That's the first promise we have for Easter. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
So if you have a cross and you're wearing it with a crucified Jesus living on there, I don't want to hurt your feelings today, folks, but Jesus isn't on there anymore.
Amen.
He's gone.
Amen.
He's alive. And you know what that promise is? That means that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Now, sin, there's a real unpopular word today. Who knows what the word sin means? Who wants to share? What does sin mean? Brother Bill? What does sin mean?
Rebellion against God.
Rebellion against God. That's good. Has anybody ever sinned in here? Yeah, absolutely. Every single one of us have. The person sitting next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, you, the pastor, we've all sinned. And you know what the Bible says in Romans 3:23 is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you know why this cross is so spectacular? Do you know why it's so awesome? Because it is the promise that our sins, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, are forgiven. That's the first promise that these ladies saw as they were walking to the tomb. So the first promise we have is the empty cross, the forgiveness of sin. Now let's get back to these ladies. After pausing for a while to look at the cross, they continued on their path. As they were walking to the tomb, all of a sudden, they felt this earthquake. And so, earthquake moved. The ground shook. And they were thinking, what is this? What's going on? And then it kind of subsided a little. And so they thought, well, maybe things are okay. So then, except for that, that's not okay. But anyway, so then they thought, well, maybe things are okay. Then they thought, how are we really going to be able to anoint the body of Jesus anyway? How are we going to be able to do that? I mean, there's a big rock in front of it that weighs over 2 tons. Not only is there this big rock in front of it that weighs over 2 tons, but yet there's another problem. It's guarded by Roman soldiers. So are we going to get past that? Well, I don't know. They said, if we're supposed to anoint the body, there will be a way. So they continued. And as they continue, they're walking some more. And they approach this burial site and they're still wondering, what's going on? And as soon as they come to the burial site, what they see is the soldiers are all unconscious. The stone's been moved. An angel glowing with lightning is sitting on it, listening to his words. And what he says is, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He's not here, and he has risen from the dead. So that means that Jesus conquered death. When you look at that empty tomb, the second promise is that Jesus conquered death for you. It means that he's gone. He's no longer there anymore. It's over. Death is gone. And so you think, well, maybe you have somebody that recently passed away in your family. Maybe you have somebody that death has taken them from you. And it hurts your heart. But I want to tell you, if they're a Christian, they're no longer in a place that's like we're at. They're in a wonderful place, a beautiful place with their Lord and Savior, where there's no more pain, there's no suffering, there's no tears, there's no sorrow. They're in a great place. You see, for a Christian, death doesn't have sting. Death is an exciting thing. That's how we graduate. That's how we move from one world to the next world, is through death. And so instead of worrying about death, if you're a Christian, you can look forward to death, to being back with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing that would be. You know, I want to tell you about stinging, death and stinging. Death kind of has a sting if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you know him, it's a great place. Is anybody here allergic to bees? Anybody allergic to bees? If you're allergic to bees, that could be a deafening thing that happens. It could be something that causes your airway to close up. It could be a real scary situation. I heard a story one time about a dad and his son, and they were driving along in a car, going out somewhere to a camping site, I guess, and this bee flies in the window. And so his kid is screaming. His kid is going crazy. He's like, oh no, there's all this, there's a bee, there's a bee. And so the dad, looking at his son, knowing his son is deathly allergic, what does the dad do? Well, first we think, well, the dad tries to kill the bee, right? So the dad reaches out and he grabs the bee. And so the kid starts to calm down. And in the midst of that, well, the dad catches the bee stings the dad. And so it hurts the dad. So the dad opens his hand up and the bee continues to fly around. So then the kid starts going crazy again. Ah, there's a bee! Ah, there's a bee! And the dad says, relax, son. And he shows him his hand. And the stinger of the bee is in the dad's hand. He said, I took the sting for you. That bee can't hurt you anymore. And that's what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
You see, death can't hurt us anymore. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to worry about death because Jesus took care of all that. So the empty tomb is a way of God telling us, relax, my child. Death can't hurt you anymore. So back to our story with the lady. So now they see this empty tomb. They see everything the way it is. The rock is rolled away. And they're sitting there they're just in amaze. They're in wonder of what happened. And so what happens? This angel appears to them and they kind of get scared. They get nervous. They're excited. They don't know where Jesus is. They say he's rose from the dead. They remember that. They run back to his apostles. And they go to the apostles and they say, oh, we got great news. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He's rose from the dead. He's gone. And then Peter and John, like, maybe think they're a little crazy, but nevertheless, they go back to the tomb. So they run in there, they run up to the tomb, race to there to see for themselves. And when they get there, John, he stops outside the tomb. He's not going in there. And Peter runs right into the tomb, doesn't he? And so when Peter runs right into the tomb, Peter finds out that there's burial clothes that are laying there. And that's the third promise I want to share with you, is the empty burial clothes. Jesus truly was resurrected. When Peter went there and he saw, these are empty clothes, there's nothing else here. The woman said it was empty and it was true. And it wouldn't be long before Jesus would appear to all kinds of different people, over 500. Not only did he appear with the apostles, but he appeared with over 500 different people. He ate with them, he sat with them, he walked with them, he talked with them. Jesus really did rise from the dead. So that's our third promise, is these empty burial clothes means that Jesus wants to have fellowship with us. So think about it for a minute. The cross, that couldn't hold him. The tomb, that couldn't contain him. The burial clothes, they weren't even necessary because Jesus was alive. Folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus isn't some nebulous force roaming around in the universe that's doing great or bad things for you. That's not how Jesus works. Jesus is a living Savior. And he wants to have a personal relationship with every single one of you. See, Jesus, he has skin. He had bones. He ate. I mean, people saw the real man, Jesus Christ. That first Easter Sunday, as those women went to the grave, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. They didn't know that wonderful promises would be revealed. They didn't know the first thing that they would find out is on that empty cross, they'd be reminded that their sins were forgiven. They didn't know as they continued and they saw that tomb, that when they saw that empty tomb, that would symbolize the eternal life that they were going to have someday. And then when they saw those empty clothes, they didn't know that that symbolized Jesus wanted a close personal relationship with them. The promises they discovered that day, you could have those same promises too. You could know what the freedom is like to have forgiveness of sins. You could know the promise of eternal life in heaven. You too can know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I just want to share one last thing with you that's on my heart today before we close in prayer. The Bible tells us something in John chapter 14. Listen to what it says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Have you given any thought to something important today? Have you given any thought to whether or not you are going to be able to go to heaven when that time comes? So often we think, well, we're young, so we have plenty of time. I know a 4-year-old baby that passed away this week. You'd think that 4-year-old had plenty of time. We think, well, there's things I got to do today, so tomorrow's always a good option. We're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says that we've just given today, so we're supposed to live every day for the glory of God. You see, if you don't know whether or not you're going to go to heaven or not, today is the day to make that decision, right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not a month from now. All those things you're not promised. But you do have one thing. You do have this moment in time. You see, Easter is so much more than jelly beans, candy, and colored eggs. Easter is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. The celebration of Jesus rising from the dead, conquering death, and giving us the promise that someday, just like he was raised from the dead, we'll be raised from the dead and be in heaven too. That's a pretty big deal. And you know why Jesus did this for us? Because he loves us. How many people in here know what it's like to be loved? I mean, to be truly loved. Because I'll tell you, in the world, it's hard to find true love. We find people that say they love us, but their opinion changes like the wind in Kansas. You do one thing wrong, they want nothing to do with you for weeks. I'm married, I know how this is. But Jesus' love is much different than that. You say, well, what do you mean? Jesus' love goes to a different level. He doesn't look at what you've done now. Jesus wants to, he loves you so much that regardless of what sin you're dealing with, regardless of what problem you have, he wants to deliver you from that. Maybe somebody in here is dealing with depression. You know, Jesus wants to help you with that. Maybe somebody in here is dealing with addiction. You've tried and tried and tried to quit whatever it may be. But you can't do it on your own. You're right, you can't do it on your own. The only way you can do it is through the power of God. I want to tell you today, Jesus doesn't love you based on what you do. He loves you because he created you. Amen. You're special in his eyes. You're unique. There is no one else in the world like you. You have the one and only fingerprint. You are the one and only person. He's got a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And he wants to come into your life and save you from whatever you're dealing with today. And you say, well, Pastor, that's a great speech and all, but you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know my struggles. I'm a drunkard. I'm a fornicator. I'm an adulterer. I lose my anger. I lose my temper. I have no patience with people. I've hurt people emotionally and maybe even physically. I'm a gossiper. Lord, I've put all kinds of gods before you. I've put money above you. I've put friends above you, family above you. God, I'm just not worthy. That's what you think because you're a human. You don't know any better. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. What Jesus' word says. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. There is no problem that you have that Jesus can't help you with today. If you'll just trust him as your Lord and Savior. But that's where the decision comes down to you. Jesus has proven his love to you. Maybe you say, well, I want to feel that love. I want that unconditional love in my life. I want somebody who loves me no matter if I'm good, if I'm bad, if I screw up. I want somebody that loves me. I want somebody who's going to help me with my problems and deliver me from our problems. But I just don't know. What do I do? I mean, how do I even pray to God? What do I even say? The Bible clears it up in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Listen to what it says. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Here's my favorite part of this verse. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Everyone. My favorite verse in the entire Bible is Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. There is nothing you have to do today
before coming to God and asking for his help. There's nothing more important you can do today than to come down to these altars and say, Lord, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. There's nothing more important that you can do today than to come down and say, God, this life that I'm dealing with is too much for me, and I need your help. Jesus is here waiting. Won't you make this your best Easter ever? Stop trying to solve your own problems. Stop trying to save yourself, because none of those things are going to work. And just come down and lay your burdens before the Lord. Let's all stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, God, the Almighty Lord, who's the greatest in heaven and the greatest on earth. God, you're the God that's alive. You're not dead. You've raised from the dead. You've healed people and raised others from the dead. God, you came down from heaven out of your perfect place, your perfect throne, to live amongst us, to teach us, to walk with us so that we could understand. God, you're the only person that ever lived and never sinned. And you're the only person in the world that will love us no matter what we've done. God, there's a lot of burdens. There's a lot of trouble that people are dealing with today. I know it, God. There's people with financial problems and relationship problems. There's people whose hearts are broken. There's people who are here this Easter that miss somebody they love. God, I pray that you would heal all their hearts and work in them, Lord. God, I pray as we sing this first of invitation, Lord, if there's anybody that needs to come pray for any reason, Lord, God, that you would call them to come and pray. And if there's anyone who wants to accept you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day they'd make that decision, that they're no longer going to have to worry about tomorrow. Oh, no, they're going to be in heaven. Praise you, Lord, as we sing this verse of invitation, hymn 268. If anybody needs to come and pray, you're welcome to pray at this time.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace.
If you feel like God is tugging on your heart and you want to come pray, this is the whole reason that you came to service today. It wasn't just to go to an Easter egg hunt or to take family pictures. You came here to meet with the everlasting, living Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have a burden and you want to come pray, I won't go bother you. You're welcome just to come and be alone with the Lord. Let the Lord work on your heart. God wants to help you today. He can help you where you're at, or he can help you down here. It's completely up to you. But I'm telling you, if you came today and you missed the message of Easter, of Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, raising from the dead, I pray that God will speak to you now. And if you need to pray, please lay your burdens down. He's the one that's going to help you. I can't help you. Your neighbor can't help you. Your parents can't help you. Only the Lord can help you. I know he's calling us today.
The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
While he's up here praying. And it's not too late if you want to come forward and pray. It's never too late to join at the cross. The altars are open. Thank you.